Welcome back to the Discovering Forestry podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Corey Lofi, alongside the star of the show, Mr. Joe Aitken, here for another compelling conversation about trees. Joe, I got to go back to the Midwest for the weekend, spent a couple days touring around Wisconsin, Minnesota. Man, is it humid and muggy and buggy, but wow. Does the Midwest have some beautiful trees right now? It's awesome.
Hot and muggy, yeah, but we've had the rain. Everything's green. It's a bad thing is, in certain parts of the Midwest, there's a lot of tree decline, a lot of trees dying. And not just in the urban forest, but out in the forest, too. So I was talking to one of our previous guests, Hillary Wells. She's with Consumers Energy. She's their only true forester. A lot of good tree people there. But she was saying that the Midwest, because of the logging in the late 1800s, 1900s, is that the Midwest forest is a lot of the same age. So the age of the forest has an issue because we don't have multi-age forest anymore because it was all logged out at one time. So yeah, there's a lot of tree decline, a lot of things. You got heat. Everybody's freaking out about 90 degrees, and they act like trees never seen heat before. But all in all, it's good. I've been in this business long enough that July and August, it's going to heat up. You just chill back and wait for September, and you wrap things up. So no biggie. Spend more time at the lake.
Yeah. Let it roll. Find out a way to cool off. Also, it's also a good time to start. As I was looking at a lot of those trees, a lot of elms and oaks, and talking with some people back there, it's a good time to start booking that winter, that dormant prune work that you can't do during the summer. Yeah. I mean, just put it in the hopper. Tell them you'll do it after Thanksgiving, and you'll be fine. So it is exciting to see.
Yeah, we're still taking care of elms, but I will say quickly that I was working with one of my good friends on a elm tree just off of campus at Michigan State University. Started off last year flagging, looking like Dutch elm disease. Man, we treated it, pruned out the dead. Next year came back even worse. Well, last year we turned in samples, came back negative for Dutch elm disease. Huh. So maybe it was just bad culture. So then we did it again this year, came back negative again. So we may have something else going on in Michigan or in the Midwest. And the only thing that I forgot, and I should have, it's been so long since I've heard it, is elm yellows. I should have tested for them.
Yeah, elm yellows. That pops up every now and then.
Yeah. So a little bit of drought, a little bit of stress, a little bit of overwatering in the spring because of the torrential downpours. I think, and I also call it phloem necrosis. But I think that's the next thing we're going to have to go test for. And there's some telltale field signs that we're going to have to do. But it's a weird time of the year, which kind of segues into our guest tonight and an amazing purpose that himself, his father, and their team put together. But I was very fortunate recently to work with ArborJet Saving America's Iconic Tree Program. So up in northern Michigan, I guess obviously out of the respect for the homeowners, you can't say exactly where it's at, but it has the largest white ash tree in North America.
Yeah.
Which AKA should be the largest tree, but a couple of years ago the central leader blew out of it in a storm, but it's now 92 inches in diameter.
Jeez.
You walk up to this beast and you're like, it's just, can you imagine back in the day before we as Homo sapiens, how we effed it up and took them all down, and there's only a handful of these beautiful babies out there? Every now and then you stumble into it. And we're very fortunate that we have a philanthropic branch within our company that we get to go out and play with these and preserve them.
Yeah.
So it's all good. And it brings us to big trees. Big trees get big trees because they've been around a long time. And I was very fortunate to work with our guest tonight on a couple of his adventures, which we'll let him get us started. But without further ado, for this episode, I would like to introduce our listeners to a really good dude, Mr. Jake Mullark. Jake, welcome to the show.
Joe, Corey, thank you guys very much. It's an honor and a pleasure to be on virtually with you guys and talk trees. Boy, this could go on for a long time if you let it, right? So,
no, you're right, because it's such a philanthropic. it's a beautiful thing. So,
yeah.
Corey, why don't you get him going? Ask him some questions.
All right. Well, Jake, yeah, welcome to the show. I know Joe has talked to me at least once about some of the work that you two have collaborated on, but let's bring the listeners and myself up to speed. How did you get into the industry? How did you get to where you are today? What does that look like?
I think I'm third generation, basically farmer, tree farmer, shade tree farmer, on our family land here in Northern Michigan. Grandfather was big into that. My great grandfather grew flowers that went onto the train in Chicago, which led kind of into the shade tree industry for my grandfather. Then my dad followed suit with that. And ultimately, me and my brother kind of ventured into the shade tree industry. Then sort of like, man, that's a lot of waiting around. A lot of the stuff that we're producing in this poor soil, it was just a struggle. And we were like, man, we got to hit the road. We got to learn some new things. So we kind of ventured off into landscaping, which led into, all sorts of stuff, tree work. And, since a child, my grandfather, my father, my brother, we were always out in the woods, always cutting down trees, planting trees. That was all we ever talked about. And kind of just led into being a certified arborist. It led into chance meetings with Archangel Ancient Tree Archive and, fantastic people around the world, which, I can't express how many fans, friends, folks from around the world kind of said hello, great job, check this out, sort of thing, like, which led to, hey, I've got a big tree in my yard, which it was interesting that Joe talked about the national champion ash. That was one of the first trees that my dad was real interested in checking out, and they actually propagated that, cloned that, at one of the large shade tree growing industries in Oregon. And that sort of started the Champion Tree Project, which evolved into Archangel Ancient Tree Archive. So Joe's latest efforts, keeping an eye on that ash, were kind of where my dad's dream sort of idea took off.
For the listeners, Jake, kind of give a synopsis on what happened with your dad and how he got this. And he wrote an amazing book, which I'd like to make sure that we mention at the end if any listeners want to order it. But give them a little bit on how this all came about with your dad.
Like I said, my father was following his dad's kind of footsteps in the shade tree industry. My dad was sort of a free spirit and kind of did his own sort of thing, had an epiphany, sort of near death experience, and sort of had a vision on maybe I should start saving some pretty big trees, maybe some special trees. Sort of changed his life around, kind of, and came up with this plan of champion trees and propagating old growth genetics, which was kind of unique out of an experience like that. And that sort of started the Champion Tree Project, which led into Archangel Ancient Tree Archive, which is a nonprofit now, which collects, propagates old growth genetics from old growth trees. We do a lot of educational things with young folks, which, we feel like that may be, our only hope is getting the young folks involved, kind of keeping an eye on our local watersheds, our local ecosystems. And I think a lot of people are really interested in kind of partaking in the Johnny Appleseed, the planting trees in your own area, and that will buy, that will kind of garnish some buy-in to the local community. So we've had a lot of grassroots tree planting efforts going on with our nonprofit. We've done shade tree industry type stuff, which we've planted trees for years, which evolved into climbing trees, removing trees. That's kind of what I do now. I help a lot at Archangel, but I run my own tree service. So boy, we just get into everything and all over. And it all basically started because my dad got interested in saving big trees. And no matter what you did, you've talked about all the big trees here. Everybody would always say, have you seen a redwood? Have you talked about redwoods, or have you tried this? And You know, for years, my dad had kind of looked at this prize at like, oh my goodness sakes, I'd love to, but nobody's, you know, I don't have any clue on how to do this. I'm from Northern Michigan. You know, I'm not sure that would sort of work. And I, you know, my dad's efforts then kind of evolved into let's try maybe a redwood or maybe a giant sequoia. You know, God willing, if we have the opportunity, maybe this would work. And I'll be darn it worked. And that kind of created a spark, created a lot of interest, and that came out. Then they came out with a book, The Man Who Planted Trees, and boy, that re the rest is sort of history,
Were
I
you
guess.
alive when your dad had the vision, or is this pre?
He, yes, yep. I can't recall exactly how old he was, but you know, it was kind of a rough time for us as a family. But then it was like, oh, you know, something's changed for sure. You know, whatever that may be, or however that came about. It was kind of like a 180, and
Okay.
it was more focused than he'd ever been, kind of writing things down, kind of like, you know, I'm going to write a book, I'm going to make something happen sort of thing. And you
So it
just wouldn't
was pretty
stop talking
spiritual.
about it.
It was
Oh,
pretty
yes.
spiritual
And
because this has been brought up on the show many times, and I felt it when I had the opportunity to climb with you, your team and Team Bartlett that one time I got to be involved. It's a spiritual endeavor, being around these trees, and it's a big responsibility of what you set out to do to preserve something that technically shouldn't be preserved. Does that make sense? You know, we all say Mother Nature do her thing, but shoot, a lot of the issues that we're trying to preserve trees from are man-made issues.
oh yeah, you know, and my father and a lot of his friends and you know proponents of it, of like protecting the watersheds and the things around here. At first, when I was younger, I was like, oh, you know, I don't think we'll ever have an issue with running out of water. I don't think we'll ever have an issue with like our big trees burning down. And even I can't even remember, years ago we were just joking around in like the sequoias, and you know, like this could happen, this could burn down. And you're kind of like, well, it's never really been documented of happened. Yes, of course it could, it's very dry, but you know, these trees are hypothetically you know, fire resistant. And then all of a sudden, you know, the things that you were talking about and some of the folks were worried about is actually happening in front of you. And then the projects that you were working on kind of became a little bit more important. And then it was like, well, we have to show people what we're doing, get them involved, and maybe that would give you like a spiritual connection, like Joe's talking about. And then, you know, when you get people invested spiritually, physically, you know, financially, boy, you know, we can make some things happen, right? So we thought, you know, instead of just me or Joe going up the tree, taking pictures for myself, wouldn't it be interesting? Wouldn't it be cool if we could get other people involved, maybe get some guided tours going, you know, kind of getting, you know, creating our own awareness, creating our own kind of grassroots movement. And boy, that just kind of exploded. And
Let's, yeah. Let,
wow, it was, you know, it was a blast. It's been unbelievable.
no, yeah. The no, yeah. You could tell I spent time in the Midwest. one of the really cool things, and one of the first times that I got to meet Joe Wakin, he was talking about this project that the two of you were on, and I don't know if Joe and you, Jake, can go back and forth on that project, but it was a massive climb. In a redwood stand, I believe, obviously in California,
Sequoia,
USA. So, Joe, do you want to start out on that, and then we'll let Jake kind of chime in because people have to hear this story. It's pretty
Well,
amazing.
you know what? It was interesting is that I kind of mooched my way onto the trip. So Jake, his father, had a big plan to go out and climb a couple, the fourth or fifth largest sequoia in the southern tier of the Sierra Nevada. So he reached out to some for some support, and one of our former guests, Jason Kappen with Bartlett
Right.
Tree Supply, put a team together. Jake, you put a team together, and your father was kissing babies and shaking hands, man. There was like shoot, I thought at one time Olivia Newton-John was supposed to be there. He had
Oh,
his
I tell
dad
you,
had some connections.
yeah, we had just sort of put together a rough idea of let's make something happen if we possibly can, and we needed I would say professional help climbing big trees, right? We wanted to do it professionally. We wanted to do it, you know, as least invasive and as possible. And to think that I'm one of the best climbers in the world could handle all this myself would be naive. So, you know, we were like, let's reach out. Maybe we can get these folks excited. Maybe we can create a stir. And then, you know, Joe, you know, Joe can keep going on the story, but I would like to also say we were reaching out for professional help as well, because we knew this wasn't something that we wanted to do.
Right.
You know, just me and the guys in the back of the truck weren't going to just make this happen and capitalize off of it. So we were looking for, you know, how can you take a picture of somebody in a tree professionally? How can you get a cameraman in a tree? These were things that were, you know, pretty difficult. And we knew the owner of a 3,000-year-old tree, probably the fifth biggest tree on the planet. And he's like, sure, as long as you guys do the right thing and it's not, you know, you can do it kind of whatever you want. You're friends of ours. If it's about the right thing, we'll let you do whatever you want. And the guy was like 90 years old, shaking hands, like, you shook my hand, it's a deal kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, I was like, I got to tell Joe, I got to tell Jason, we'll get these guys out here. And then my dad's also, you know, he's got a wealth of connections and great folks. And go ahead, Joe. I just wanted to, you know, to say we were looking for professional help as well.
Yeah, it was a unique group. It was a very eclectic group. People from all around the world came. Like I said, I kind of almost begged my way. I not begged my way. I'm like, oh, yeah, it sounds good. How about if I come along? So there was it's a harmonious balance. And they were driving out there from Michigan. So they voted and like, hell yeah, they want Joe to go. So Joe got to go. And it was truly incredible, because it's the first time I've seen the trees on the West Coast. You know, obviously I've seen big trees in Michigan, but it's just, we talked about spiritual, but you get out there and you realize that at one time in this crazy world, that was the norm.
Yeah.
That's what trees were. They were just, there was no insects and diseases and pathogens. And, you know, ever since Pangea, they were on their own little island and nobody bothered them. And then we show up and F it all up. But to see them in their natural range and get to put your hand on it and see the bear claw marks on them and just the biology that lives on these, and then ascend up into them. Oh, Jesus.
Let's talk about that. 'Cause most climbers and most people who, and I'm not saying just most, I'm talking 90 something percent of people who are professional climbers. You're going up, you're setting a line, you know, maybe you're going 100 feet up. How many lines, how many resets, and how high were you going in this dang tree?
200 feet, 225, 250, 300 on some of the redwoods. But you know what's also cool, and I'll let Jake, because obviously they came up with the system, and almost got me into a fight, which we'll tell you a story afterwards, with some of the invitees that his dad invited their kids. We were sitting around drinking a few beers, and I got kind of upset the way they were talking about it. But Jake, tell them, tell the listeners, how do you get a rope set in 200 feet in the tree?
Crossbow. Bow and arrow, big shot with fishing line, and then a lot of monkey climbing. It can take a long time. There's a lot of pictures that didn't get published, put out there, of throw lines tangled, ropes tangled, things in trees. That's, I think, a part of the reason we reached out for professional help is like, we're going to need some gear. We're going to need a crossbow. We're going to need a bow and arrow. And then you can basically set it up for, you know, shooting a bolt over the top of a big branch, rigging that out, you know, that'll be your canopy line. And then you'll have a scent line and a canopy line. Your canopy line's normally 75 feet, 100 feet. At that time, I would say I was a modest climber. So I didn't want to basically, you know, put myself or other people kind of in harm's way. So we were like, we need some professional climbers. I can get in a tree and move around a tree. But when you're talking some of the bigger trees on the planet, at altitude, it's a significant task. And I think probably half the people that I've seen just try to do things or move around just basically fail. And they're just like, man, this is not for me. So over time, we were like, okay, maybe the camera guy's not going to be able to make it up the rope. Maybe we get like a motorized descender, and that was kind of like, that's like, that's totally not tree guy code. That's really not cool. And then through time, I met a gentleman, Damien Caray from Portland Tree Care Expedition Old Growth, who had kind of put together a system where they could raise and lower people, a counterweight system, and belay them. And boy, that really changed over the years. I remember one day we were there. I think a 6-year-old girl went up and an 80-year-old person went up the same exact day. We're like, holy cow, like
That's
a
cool.
250 foot ascent on rope on top of a mountain, and talk about being, moved. And that was sort of the thing for me. I was like, wow, now I'm actually getting to see people what I was trying to like explain and show them, and when you just get to see your friend or like see Joe's face, like kind of looking out, you're just like, holy cow, that's what I was hoping you would get to see, like hope you'd get to feel that, like, and you're their trees are in their essence, and you're just like, oh, this is amazing, I can't believe I'm here.
Yeah, and I know there's a need to bring people up because you got to get them excited to invest in such an amazing endeavor. And these are, the Redwood climb. Then we drove up to Northern California, and then we climbed the Redwoods, which were skinnier, but man, they were 300 foot tall. You want to talk about something weird? And then there, we had a good friend of ours, Aaron Johns, who's a very incredible climber. He wanted to rappel over to other ones. So he got to the top and he was shooting a captain suck over to the tree next to him, pulling himself over there. And he was like Tarzan from tree to tree to tree up in the canopy, a couple hundred feet in the air. I was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
and it was also like an opportunity. We were collecting cones, collecting things for propagation. We were like setting up meetings with Jerry Baranek, the great Jerry Baranek, the legendary tree guy, because there's folks that have lived and operated in these territories and around these big trees their whole lives, and you almost need a guide. And Jerry's one of those guys that will just dive into like the poison oak and swim right through that, and you're like, oh, just don't ride my car, you won't get poison oak, kind of thing. And he'll be diving through the bushes, and next, one around the next curve is one big tree, and you wouldn't even think about it, but these guys know this stuff on the back of their, like the back of their hand. And
I'm
so
glad you
we've had
brought up
lots of
Jerry.
connections, like Jerry, I would say guided friends, owners of the stag tree at the time before they sold it to the say the Redwoods. These folks were like personal friends and fans of ours. So, it was just an unbelievable opportunity. Everything worked out, and everybody was so gracious that we were just like, wow, we are on hallowed ground. We better treat this with respect, and we better find out what we can do to help protect this, save this, maybe get people excited to come here,
Well,
and be moved to do something.
didn't this particular tree, I think one of the photos I saw was one of you are a couple hundred feet in the air, and the camera individual was lowered down and took a shot because somebody rappelled into this tree.
Yeah, that was Jake Carafell and his wife Autumn are professional photographers.
Oh,
So
yeah.
the tree that he's talking about was the waterfall tree.
I
So,
think I've got this. We got this is in the top of the stag tree. I don't know if you can. This
you're
probably
showing a
won't
picture
show
right
up.
now. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's you and
This was,
Aaron in the stag.
yes, which was a big one. And that's about 250 foot. That's the top of the tree. So
So the
there's
top
so many fire scars, and yeah, you're tied into branches.
outside of the canopy.
Yeah, I can email you guys some pictures.
See,
So
I
so
had to
my
bring
guys
up the
can
outside of
see.
the canopy because there's so much fire scar and decay and all this couple hundred feet in the air. Sorry, maybe we'll put a link to some of this for the guests, our listeners.
Yeah, we'll get a link to Archangel, and a lot of these photos are on their website. But
Yeah, it's a good idea.
yeah, and if anybody's that excited too, I can, obviously send them stuff. That was for me, it was like, wow, I've seen this really neat thing. I really wanted to show my friends, right? I really wanted to, like, I can't tell you how cool it is. I can't really even explain it, but if I could get you there and give you the opportunity, what would that make you do, right? And boy, we had cameramen, we had professional people. Like, I've swam with sharks, I've climbed the biggest mountains. I am not going to be scared of this. Like, you are not going to, I won't be out of my element here. And I'm not even kidding you. The first 150 foot, they're out of their element, like, can't do anything. And you're like, I thought you just said you swam with sharks. And they're like, it's, I don't know, it's different. We're like, okay, well, here, hand me the camera. Like, oh no, it's $50,000. It's like, okay, well, then move your feet. You know,
Yeah, so we so Jake got down in that tree and shot up 40 feet, and it was Wayne Ellison. So part of our crew was Rich and Wayne Ellison with Team Bartlett, and it was Wayne rappelling down over him. And it, you can see it's a shot straight up out the top of the tree, and it looks like you're in a cave. And correct me if I'm wrong, we did propagate, or you did at Archangel, you did propagate that tree, and you have its DNA.
Yes, I believe that the tree you guys were talking about, there is some cool video, I think, around of that somewhere on like YouTube, I believe, too. We collected cones and cuttings and have a bunch of different copies of that that we've sent out, planted out in same locations out there as well. And that particular tree actually burnt down in a wildfire a few years after we were there. Yeah, so kind of that kind of came full circle, like with the idea. I was like, oh my gosh, maybe this thing could happen, maybe they are endangered, sort of thing. And
well,
that
I think
was
what
kind of
happened
like,
was
maybe
that because it was hollow, and the fire came up, because you could if you went down the cliff behind it, it was hollow and you could kind of come up under it. So if that fire got in there, it'd be like a rock to the canopy.
Oh sure.
Yeah,
so it's sad that, but it's sad that we lost it after what, 2500 years or whatever the estimate was. But the great thing is that you have its DNA. And
oh yeah. And, you know, a lot of these trees have survived those types of fires many times before. Fires up the bottom, fires, you know, lightning started fires in the canopy. So it was kind of different territory seeing those types of trees fall down, but it kind of made sense. Like, okay, now what we're working on, what we were striving toward makes a little bit more sense. Maybe this is important. And throughout time, I think we've probably done about 50,000 to 60,000 giant sequoia seedlings and propagated clones. And we've got at least half of those back in the areas where they came from. So,
but you also know nine different countries. So this, they're going international for reforestation. So it's an amazing endeavor.
And then at that point we were like, oh, this is great. You know, this, everything's working, but you know what, wouldn't it be fantastic if we just sort of turned it around and turned this into a educational thing. Like, let's show people, get people involved in how to propagate these trees themselves. And kind of like, you know, give younger folks, give those people that opportunity. And that's sort of what we're striving towards now at Archangel Ancient Tree Archive, is sort of the educational part. But,
yeah,
you
I
know,
love
that
it.
Can take some time to develop.
It's amazing. I know we got to wrap things up. I know you're right. We could go on for this forever.
Oh, I knew I'd talk too much too. So I,
oh my God, no, it was, it just flew by because everything's so riveting. And the story's not told enough that there are organizations such as yours that are out there trying to make a difference in preserving some of these, you know, if, you know, and you think about, I know you're going to send me a list, but you have a whole catalog of trees. What is it? Hippocrates plane tree.
Over the course of the years, they've done a lot of different trees for different reasons. And, you know, what we thought was important, like learn the techniques, right? Learn the plant propagation techniques, learn the techniques on climbing. And boy, over the years, it's really been fantastic. I just want to, you know, if I could take 2 minutes and really thank Joe, thank folks like Cap'n Tree Service, all the wonderful volunteers, the friends, the family members. I mean, it almost brings tears to my eyes just thinking, like, wow, what an opportunity. This is, what a blessing, right? Yeah. Like, can you believe it happened to me? You know,
yeah,
thank you.
Oh my God, thank you. And we truly enjoyed having you on. Maybe we'll have stories from the canopy next time we have
you
on.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. All day, all night, right?
Yeah. But
and we have to do it again. We'll have to do it again.
Yeah, from the bottom of my heart, a truly fantastic friendship developed out of it. Got to see some amazing things. I visited you guys at the shop numerous times, but keep up the great work. And we'll give you, you know, 30 seconds for one last parting shot to let the listeners know. And if it's okay with you, and Corey and I will make sure that we put a link when we drop this to Archangel Ancient Tree Kai, if that's okay for you.
Oh, once again, Corey, Joe, thanks so much. You know, anytime talking about Archangel and the big trees, it's just so wonderful. And, you know, from the bottom of our heart here at Archangel, you know, without you guys, without the volunteers, literally none of it would have happened. So thank you so much. I'm excited about what's next. Let's do it.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Joe. I know the listeners are going to enjoy this one.
Hey, great topic today.
Yes, and lots of good information.
Yeah, probably one of our best yet.
If you enjoyed the podcast or have topics you would like to discuss, please send them to discoveringforestry@gmail.com. And please hit the subscribe button and tell a friend.
Thanks, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Joe.
And I'm Corey.
Signing out.